Welcome to the GISC podcast. Sarah Porter is GISC's Head of Innovation, responsible for leading GISC's work to support innovation across the higher education sector. In this podcast interview given at GISC's Innovation Forum in the summer, Sarah talks about the importance of innovation and why investment in innovation is crucial to the future of the sector.
Sarah, we're here at the Innovation Forum at Kiel, and we've been hearing for the last day and a half about some of the exciting innovation projects and so on. What have been the highlights for you?
I think the whole event so far has just had a real buzz around it, and I think the overall highlight for me has been the level of conversation almost constantly everywhere I've been for the last couple of days, and from the very beginning actually, and particularly seeing people who I know haven't met each other before have come together at this event, are talking about areas of shared interest and are really making those links between different activities across different themes. Some people working on e-learning or research and all different levels of seniority in institutions, and they've kind of met together and they're discussing things. And so I feel that there is a creative environment going on at the moment. So for me, that's really been the highlight, I think.
John Selby, in his keynote speech yesterday, praised the work of GISC innovation team, but he also said that we're very good at talking to a community of experts, developers, but that we needed to go beyond to the sector as a whole. How do you think we do that?
I think John picked up on a really important challenge, and it's probably our most important challenge for GISC as a whole organisation, I think, actually. And I was talking to John last night more about this actually over dinner. And I mean, I think there is this concept of us having our innovation community, which is obviously includes all of our services and those people who are well embedded in the work we're doing. And I think they're the early adopters and they're some of our change agents, as people say. You know, they're going out there and engaging with people and making things happen. So I think we have to use those people to actually go and talk to their peer groups. And really, that's a lot of that has to be through existing networks of people. So we've got the Higher Education Academy, the subject centres, we've got organisations that are membership organisations like USISA and ALT and many others, you know, SCONEL and so on, who look after particular communities. And I think we've got to work through those channels and those networks, as well as having our own network. And I think, you know, what we've been seeing at this meeting is that network that we have in place, which crosses so many different boundaries. But I think there's also, you know, a real challenge to us to get our messages to people in a way that is useful to them. And I think we've got some really good examples of that, but I don't think we do that well enough across the board. And I think we need to listen a lot more to the users of those resources that we're producing and say, what do you want, in what format, how can it actually help you in your practice, in your research, in whatever you're doing. So for example, you know, we've evaluated some of our video case studies and booklets that have gone with that. They've actually, you know, people have taken those back to institutions, they've used them in staff development in those institutions. That actually has a real impact, and we've evaluated those. We know that those sorts of things work, but we need to also look at, you know, Web 2 technologies and other ways of getting things to people and really work with the users and find what works for them.
He also made some points about our need to engage senior managers at the very highest level of institutions. What's the kind of conversation we should be having with them?
I think it's a really interesting question, and I think it's and actually in my opening presentation I mentioned the importance of senior management. Somebody in fact asked a question about senior management, and I was saying then I think we need to make more of an effort to talk to them in their own language and use terms that make sense to them, and that really we connect what we're doing with their concerns and their priorities. So whether it's their concern about retaining students, recruiting students, whether it's their concern about trying to have more efficient internal IT systems, whether it's concerns about, you know, their competition with the university down the road, I think it's really up to us to try and demonstrate to them that all the work we're doing really does help support those agendas. So it's kind of making that link, really, and articulating that to people very clearly and consistently. And I don't actually think it's that difficult to do, but it's not a task we've taken on wholeheartedly yet, and I think we really need to do that. I think also we can use our senior management champions that we already have in place much more effectively than we do. And we've been having conversations with our board and with other people like our chairs of committees, and they're really happy to try and do that. So I think, you know, again, it's that thing about using existing networks. So, you know, we know people who are involved in some of the big organisations where senior management are engaged, so UUK and Guild HE and so on. And we need to kind of build again on their agendas and concerns, I think.
Demonstrating the impact of innovation projects and so on is particularly difficult because some of the investments you're making won't come to fruition for some years. How you gave some examples yesterday, that's quite a good way of doing that, isn't it? But if you were talking to a senior manager in an institution, how would you say, what would you say about just innovation work and its importance?
That's a really good question, and that's quite a challenging question, actually. I mean, I think you have to talk about a variety of different things. I think you can say, well, here are specific real services. There's content here. There are things you can use. There are guides. And we've brought these things to you because we've done this R&D work, this innovation work, and we can produce these. But people are often still not convinced of, you know, the value and the amount of resource you need to put into that activity. So I think that's one message. But another message is it's about the capacity building, actually. And I think that is a really important point. And I think that's something we need to make much more of. It's the fact that we're giving them some space in their institutions to engage with innovative activities, and they're building up skill sets in their staff, which then have more generic applicability in the institution. And that's definitely something we're finding, that people who are coming and getting involved in projects are then learning about project management and program management. They're taking that back, and then they're using it locally, and they're also getting connected into networks of other institutions, so then there's a lot more possibility for collaboration. And we see, you know, a lot of our projects are working with other institutions, and then they often will build on that, you know, over a number of years, and then that's extremely productive for them. So I think, you know, they're the kind of messages we need to be discussing with them, really. I think there's a challenge there, though, that there's a perception sometimes in the sector that there are the haves and have-nots, and the people who are in quotes with JISC and the people who are outside that. And we really want to break down that myth, because it is a myth. I mean, if we look at how many institutions have led on our projects, virtually every institution has led on one project or another. We do see more of a bias towards some of the research intensive universities, which is perhaps not surprising. But one of my challenges, I think, for the next couple of years is how we can get more institutions really embedded and involved in what we're doing, and that calls perhaps for some different ways of funding activity and making things easier for people and so on. And I think, you know, that's come up in the discussions in the last couple of days as well, and I think it's something we really need to address.
The name of your team changed earlier this year to Innovation from Development. That was more than just a name change, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And there are a number of reasons for that. I mean, partly it was to bring us more in line with government agendas, and we're funded by the Department for Innovation, Universities and Skills. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense for that. And also from a research perspective, there's a lot of emphasis at the moment on innovation and its role in the knowledge economy and so on. But I think it's also more of a recognition of what we're doing and a kind of setting out our intention to commit to continue to innovate and move on and change things. And I think, you know, it's the word innovate has been in the JISC mission statement for some time, but we perhaps haven't recognised that enough and actually celebrated that, I think. And it's the fact that JISC is not an organisation that just puts in place services that stand still. The point is we're moving on, and we innovate a huge amount as an organisation ourselves all the time. So I think there's a real commitment there to say what JISC is about is helping the sector to support positive change.
One of the points that John Selby made yesterday was he said that excellent technical solutions won't work if the environment isn't conducive to innovation. How can we make sure that our innovation work responds to the needs of the institution, that we're not just doing innovation for its own sake, or that doesn't get taken up in some way?
I mean, I think that's a really big challenge. And in fact, I mentioned that yesterday as one of the challenges for the sector and for us working with them is that trying to get institutions to change is actually, or well, to help them to change where they see the need to change is a very challenging challenging paradigm for us, I think. And I mean, how we do that, I think it's about communication. It's about, again, it's about every piece of innovative work that's going on in institutions should be linked back to strategic objectives. It's about perhaps giving some of those project leaders the skills to go within their institution and make their case to their senior manager. So, you know, for example, I was talking to someone yesterday who was talking about their project, which is to do with green computing and sustainability. And apparently the head of finance actually approached them and said, I want to be on your steering group. I want to be involved in sponsoring this, because they'd made it clear what the value of the project was. And that's, we want all of our projects to be in that kind of situation where you've got senior people in institutions wanting to get involved. I do think that a lot of that is about skills and confidence and helping our project leaders and staff to understand what they're trying to do and the potential of it, actually, that they're not just doing something small in a vacuum. I think if you go around to the sessions here, the things you're hearing are, you know, really important pieces of work, actually, that have real potential to have a lot of impact. But that impact doesn't always get delivered. And I think some of that is about helping people get those messages across, really.
Okay, so one of the objectives of the forum was to inform future GIST priorities. So what next? What's going to happen after the forum?
That's a really good question. Well, in practical terms, I think certainly at this session later on today, I will be asking people for their thoughts on how we should follow up and what kind of interaction they'd like to have as a continuation. Already talking to people informally, what I've heard is people want more of this, which is, you know, that's really good to hear. They don't feel they've been dragged here and it's been a waste of their time. They're actually saying, how are we following up? How are we going to continue? I'm hoping we'll do that in a variety of ways, certainly through technology. We've got you know, the websites and blogs set up. We might need to follow up, I think, on some particular themes that we hope will continue as forums, online forums, that will keep alive for some time. I think we can put other tools in place. We were looking yesterday at some of the kind of voting tools we can use. So there might be some potential for, you know, what issues and concerns do people think are important? What would they like to see more of? I think we can continue some of that. But yes, certainly I hope today in the summary session we'll be talking about things I've heard from people in terms of future work they would like to see us do, and ways they would like to work with us differently and work with each other differently. And I hope we can really build on some of those ideas.
Sarah Porter, thank you very much.
You've been listening to a JISC podcast. For further information, please visit www.jisc.ac.uk. Thank you.